Good morning, you're listening to The Call-In Show on New Mexico's Community Powered Public Radio, KUNM 89.9. I'm Marcy Chapa. This morning we're talking about the Arizona wildfires that continue to burn out of control almost 2 weeks after the fire started. As of Wednesday, the fire has burned more than 600 square miles and is reported to be the second largest fire in Arizona history. Firefighters from as far away as New York have been called to fight the fire, and no containment of the fire is in sight. Weather is also a great concern as fires spread toward New Mexico with winds exceeding 35 miles an hour and humidity running about 7%. Will the current weather patterns continue, or is there relief in sight? Those are some of the questions we have, but we also want to hear from you. How are you weathering the smoke? And the numbers to call this morning are 877-899-5866. That is the toll-free number in Albuquerque. The number is 277-5866. Our guests this morning are monitoring the situation very closely, and they include Matt Rao. He is the Assistant District Fire Management Officer for the Sandia Ranger District of U.S. Forest Service. Also, Jeff Stone-Cypher, he'll be joining us in a little while. He is the City of Albuquerque Air Quality Meteorologist. Also, Heidi Kraffel, she is the Chief of the Environmental Health Epidemiology Bureau for the New Mexico Department of Health. And Rita Bates, she is the Planning and Policy Section Chief at Air Quality Bureau with the New Mexico Environment Department. Good morning to all of you.
Good morning.
Matt, I'm going to start with you because you are a fire specialist. What is the latest on the fire? I just said that it's still out of control, but you can give us more specifics.
Well, the last I heard, actually, this morning was similar to what you all heard from the local news stations. Mm-hmm. About 380,000 acres plus, close to 400,000 acres, with 0% containment. What they're looking at now is they are going to probably get a little bit of a foothold on the fire due to the fact that it's starting to burn off the mountains now and get down into some land that they can have a little better chance to make a foothold on the fire. The slope will flatten out a little bit, and also the vegetation will change to get more into the pinyon juniper type, and that would lead itself to be contained a little easier than when it's up on the tops.
So any predictions on how long this fire will last? I know that's the big question everybody wants to know.
Yeah, a fire of this magnitude, when it's basically a fire like this is creating its own weather. The cumulus buildup is such that it dominates the local weather patterns around there, and it's really its own animal at this point. So with the amount of room it still has to run and the fuel conditions, the weather conditions we're looking at, this fire is going to be burning until the monsoons come.
So we're talking 2 weeks. There's a wildfire, which is a major blaze that's affecting us. There's the Murphy and Horseshoe fires in Arizona, I was reading, and then there's the Miller fire in New Mexico. Any more than that?
There's a handful of smaller fires, but those are the ones that are really garnering the big attention right now and capturing the majority of the resources and the help.
Well, Rhea, good morning.
Yes, good morning.
Tell us about you've been monitoring the air for us here in New Mexico. What have you found out so far about the air quality throughout the state? And where are the monitors and what does the data show?
We have monitors at a number of locations in the state. In general, we put monitors. We don't have the entire state covered. We just don't have the resources for that. In general, we put monitors where we might expect to have an air problem. So we've got particular monitors in the Four Corners region, Taos, Santa Fe, Los Lunas, in the Doña Ana County area. And that's kind of where our network is focused right now. We also have particular monitors where we don't have real-time data. Those we take us about 4 to 6 weeks to get the data, so they're not as helpful for situations like this. The data shows that we've had some really bad days. The worst we've seen, we've had a hit in Los Lunas of about 220. We're usually running less than 10, so you can see that's a big difference. And we've had some pretty bad hits in Santa Fe as well. Taos is getting hit also. When your air quality is generally very good, you really notice it when it gets worse. But when it gets up to the ranges that we've seen, it can not only seem bad, but be actually unhealthy.
Mm-hmm. Well, what is smoke, Rita?
What is in smoke?
What is in smoke?
What is particular in smoke? There's also other chemicals in smoke, like some hazardous chemicals and carbon monoxide as well. So smoke is a kind of complex mixture of constituents. The one we're mostly concerned about right now is the particulate matter. And those are very, very fine particles. And the reason they're concerned is they're so fine they can lodge deeply in your lungs.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the ones that we're really looking at during this fire event.
So Heidi, this kind of leads to a question for you. What are symptoms of smoke exposure? When should people seek help?
Well, of course, one of the things we want to stress is some of the populations that are most sensitive to smoke have underlying conditions. For example, chronic lung disease, asthma, cardiovascular disease, and smoke exposure can really aggravate these conditions. And for these populations, if they develop symptoms which do not respond to their usual medication, they need to see their healthcare provider immediately. In healthy people, symptoms of smoke exposure usually include irritation of the eyes, nose and throat, or breathing discomfort. More severe symptoms may include chest tightness, wheezing, shortness of breath, and coughing. And you would also want to see your healthcare provider immediately in that case, or 911, depending on the severity of the symptoms.
And now some of the questions that I've been receiving prior to the program are, should I keep my smoke cooler on or off? Should I turn my air conditioner? Should I keep on or off? Or keep my windows open or closed? What advice do you have?
So overall, what people want to do is reduce as much as possible their exposure to the smoke. So with respect to foam coolers, when you turn the foam coolers on, it pulls air from the outside in. So during pretty smoky conditions where the visibility is low, you do not want to run your foam cooler. If the visibility is clear, if you're outside and it doesn't smell like smoke, then you can use the foam cooler. But once it gets smoky conditions, you do not want to use the foam cooler. Air conditioners, if you can put, there's usually a setting you can do recirculate, so it's just recirculating the indoor air, then you can use the air conditioner also. If there is a HEPA filter, it's a specialized filter on your air conditioner, you can also use it then because then it would filter out the particles.
Okay, we have some listeners who would like to join the conversation. Again, the number to call outside the metropolitan area is 877-899-5866. In Albuquerque, the number is 277-5866. And I believe we have Glenn on the line. Glenn, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for this program. Yeah, it was horrible. Like, your name was strange last night, but it's beautiful this morning, so my windows are open. I thought that some people who have extra fans may want to check their neighbors if elderly are shutting it down. Swamp coolers, we could share fans with each other, it seems to me. And then secondly, what parts of New Mexico may lose electricity if the mines start burning in Arizona? Thank you.
Does anybody have an answer for that one? Rita, do you by any chance know?
What I understand is the line that they're concerned about, and maybe the gentleman from the Forest Service can answer this, but the line that they're concerned about is one that goes down and services Doña Ana County and El Paso area, is that correct? I believe that's the power line that is of concern. But I think it's great for neighbors to help each other. It's been hot, and if people are turning off their swamp coolers, it'd be great if people could look out for each other during this time. If you have air conditioning, to invite others into your home to be more comfortable, that would be very, very helpful for people, I think.
Well, here's a question from a listener who emailed. Is the smoke worse at higher or lower elevations? And should we keep car ventilation systems on internal circulation instead of taking outside air? Heidi?
As far as the elevation, I would defer that question to Rhea or to one of the meteorologists, whether people, with respect to the car
tell by elevation whether it's going to be worse or not on a particular day. Saturday morning, it was worse close to the river, but then sometimes it's worse up against the mountains because it stacks up against the mountains when westerly winds push it in.
Mm-hmm. So, Rita, are there good and bad days?
We are having good and bad days, and I think that a lot of that is determined by the wind direction, wind speed, and the activity of the fire itself. If it's putting up a lot of smoke and the wind blows it at us, we're going to have bad days. It seems to be getting worse in the early evening hours, you know, late afternoon, early evening hours, and then seems to be clearing a bit during the day. Although that's not always true, it seems like on Monday it was kind of crazy here all day long.
So I want to hear from our listeners, and I want to hear from you and how you're weathering the smoke, and maybe you have some ideas that will help others. We have Tanya on the line. Again, the phone numbers are 877-899-5866. In Albuquerque, the number is 277-5866. And now let's go to Tanya. Tanya, good morning.
Good morning, and thank you for this chance. I happen to have a serious lung condition, and I'm curious. One of the early speakers mentioned that the particles are so fine they get deep in your lungs. What happens then? Do they eventually dissolve? Do they stay there? That's my question, please. I'll answer as best I can. You know, in normal and healthy lung tissue, the body's ability to remove large particles and excess phlegm from your lungs and air is better. Then you can actually recover from these effects. The body can actually move out the particles. With some lung conditions, that can be much harder, and the body has a much harder time removing those particles.
So what are, have any studies been done on the health effects of long-term exposure to smoke, say from wildfires?
Well, it's generally more of the short term, but numerous scientific studies have linked particle pollution to the particulate matter to a variety of problems, including increased respiratory symptoms such as irritation of the airways, coughing, decreased lung function, aggravated asthma, development of chronic bronchitis, irregular heartbeat, non-fatal heart attacks, and premature death in people with heart or lung disease.
Did you have a, Matt, you raised your hand.
Yeah, the U.S. Forest Service has been conducting limited studies over the years about the smoke effects, longer-term smoke effects on our firefighters. We've got some data coming to light now, and the San Dimas Technology Development Center, one of our main technology centers in San Dimas, is continuing to do a long-term study right now, and we're hoping through this we'll get some better answers in terms of you know, longer-term effects.
Any early data that you know of?
Well, kind of like how you said, you know, it's not good. We know that it's not good for us, but we just don't know to what extent.
Jeff, will the current weather patterns continue, or is there some relief in sight? What are we looking at in terms of the weather in the next couple of weeks?
Well, the winds are becoming more westerly today, in fact, so we'll get a bit of a break, and we'll still get a little bit of smoke today, but it won't be nearly as bad as last night. The core of the smoke plume will stay to the south, with the westerly winds of Arizona and New Mexico.
Any sign of the monsoons? Any rain?
No, and that's really what we need to put this fire out.
Let's see, we've got Alora on the line from Albuquerque. Alora, good morning.
Thank you.
You're on the air.
Hello?
Good morning, Alora, you're on the air.
Oh, thank you, thank you. So, I live in Old Town. What I have been doing is limiting my being outdoors. I've been getting up early in the morning, opening windows and doors to allow fresh air to come in. And this morning I was up, actually, at 3:15, and the smoke had started clearing then. So I put, you know, the fans on and windows and doors. I did my cooking with soup this morning, so I don't have to cook it all the rest of the day. And then I'll start closing windows and doors probably mid-morning, depending on the orientation of the window or doors. I've also been trying to keep as much as possible a very mindful and prayerful attitude toward this situation without, not mindful and prayerful, to accept what it is right now. And also, planning in my mind that if I did have to leave my home, what I would take with me, and just what I would grab if I had to do that. And thank you for having the show. It's very valuable.
Thank you, Alora, which reminds me of a question that I got prior to the program, and Heidi, you may be able to help with this or anybody else on the panel, that children may be experiencing fear and anxiety regarding the smoke, and what can you do as parents to help them, help calm them down and to let them know about what exactly is going on?
You know, what I would first like to do is refer people to the Department of Health website. It is http://nmhealth.org, and if you look under the category What's New, there are three different resources about smoke. What smoke is, how can it affect you, what can you do, and also recommended actions. And the reason why I bring this up is I think the best thing that parents can do is become educated and informed themselves. And part of the things that they need to look for is the visibility. What are the conditions? How far can they see? And there's a table on the website that says if the visibility is greater than or equal to 10 miles, for example, this is a very good air quality index. This is a good air condition. If it is, the visibility is less, 6 to 9, then the conditions become moderate, etc. And so they can use that to help their kids understand, well, when the visibility is poorer, that means the smoke is worse. That means we might have to do a little bit more to prevent exposure.
Well, the other question that was asked by a 16-year-old is, how do we know if the fire is near or far? How can you tell with the smoke being so thick? Because that's part of the fear and anxiety, and I don't know if anybody, and Matt, if you can answer that question.
The best resource for understanding what's going on and keeping up to date, there's two ways. The first way is our local media. The Albuquerque Fire Department, U.S. Forest Service, Bernalillo County Fire Department, and all the rest of the entities around here work very closely with the local media. We usually have those press releases out within 2 to 3 minutes to the local media, and they can break in and do emergency announcements. If you're not one that happens to be listening to the radio or watching the television, somebody in your neighborhood should be, and can kind of spread the word to the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing that I recommend to people this time of year is to monitor a website called InciWeb. That's inciweb.com. It's a fantastic resource to keep updated on what is happening with the fires that are in your local area, talking about some of the conditions with power lines that were referenced earlier. Each fire is on InciWeb. There's also contact information for the fire. There's public information officers assigned to each fire. These are great resources to call with some of these burning questions. No pun intended.
I was going to say that. Well, if you'd like to join the conversation, first of all, let me tell you who my guests are this morning. You were just listening to Matt Rowell. He is the Assistant District Fire Management Officer for the San Diego Ranger District of the U.S. Forest Service. Also in the studio, we have Jeff Stonecipher. He is with the City of Albuquerque Air Quality, and he's a meteorologist. Also, Heidi Kraffel. She is the Chief of the Environmental Health Epidemiology Bureau for the New Mexico Department of Health. And Rita Bates. She is the Planning and Policy Section Chief and Air Quality Bureau for the New Mexico Environment Department. And we'd love to hear from you. We're talking about the fires that continue to burn in Arizona and how we here in New Mexico are weathering the smoke and what we need to know about that. The number to call outside the metropolitan area is 877-899-5866. In Albuquerque, the number is 277-5866. And we'll be right back in just a moment. Funding for the KUNM Call-In Show comes from the New Mexico Community Foundation, growing our future together on the web at nmcf.org, and by the McKeon Charitable Foundation.
Support comes from Saggio's homemade real Italian pizza, calzones, pasta, salads, and desserts, serving Albuquerque and the UNM community since 1968. Saggio's encourages support of public radio KUNM on Cornell Southeast across from UNM and at saggios.com.
Want to find out what's going on in your neighborhood? Check out the KUNM Community Events Calendar at KUNM.org. There you'll find info on theater and dance performances, live music, museum and art exhibits, and much more. You can even add your own events to the calendar. The KUNM Community Events Calendar is on the web at KUNM.org, a service of 89.9 FM KUNM, community radio for Central and Northern New Mexico.
And we are back. You are listening to the Colin Show on New Mexico's Community Powered Public Radio, KUNM 89.9. I'm RC Chop, and we're talking about the Arizona wildfires and what we can do here to weather the smoke. And during the break, all our phone lines lit up, so I'm going to try to get to everybody. Let's go to Sue from Albuquerque. Sue, good morning.
Good morning. I'm a runner in Albuquerque, and just wanted to know if one subjective measurement of air quality, like the smell of smoke, is that a good indication that it would be better to avoid exposure? Or if, like, in the mornings, it seems like that's a good time to hit the road or the trail and run. And I guess because it seems pretty clear. The air quality index is kind of hard to figure from, like, looking on the web. And it seems like sometimes it doesn't change, so I never know when it's been updated and that kind of thing. So just looking to see what anybody thinks about the value of subjective measurement by the smell of smoke. And then my second question was just about maybe a mask of some micron size that could be suggested if a person really wants to get outside or needs to get outside. So just those two ideas.
Thank you, Sue. Jeff, you nodded.
Sure. There's a website called airnow.gov that has those air quality index numbers, and the problem with it is, and we've gotten a lot of calls over this because people are confused, is that, first of all, it takes, you know, at least an hour, sometimes 2 hours, for that data to upload to the website, and then secondly, what you're looking at is a 24-hour average instead of an instantaneous reading, and so with this smoke coming in so quickly, and it gets really bad for a couple of hours, and then it's gone, the 24-hour average isn't all that helpful. It really is better to look at visibility, and you know, if you can smell any smoke, that's not good.
Okay, let's see, we've got, anybody else want to answer that question? Okay, we've got Julian on the line. Julian, good morning.
Hello, my question was, how young are you supposed to be to, like, not go outside?
Okay, and how young are you, Julian?
8.
You're 8 years old. Okay, so, Heidi, that sounds like a question for you.
Hi, thanks for calling in. So, you know, it really depends on how bad the air quality is. If the air quality is good, and you should probably work with your parents or an aunt or uncle on this to try to figure out when the air quality is good. When the air quality is good, it's fine to go outside. Then when it becomes more unhealthy, then that's the point where you might not want to go outside. But there's information on the website that can help them figure that out.
Okay, thank you. Let's see, next we have Jerry on the line. Jerry, good morning.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Wait, I have sort of a comment suggestion and a question as well. I have had for a long time, I've had asthma, and it's from cats, and some little bitty particles from the cats licking their fur, and then they evaporate and go off your hair, and that makes a difference. But the mask I found that helps is one called a HEPA filter mask, which is a special mask you get in an industrial supply store, like HEPA. And it filters really small particles, and it also seals tightly against your face, so when you take in air, it only comes through the mask. And for me, it's worked great, and I also have room-sized HEPA filters that draw air in and circulate it with kind of a whirring sound that's peaceful, mm-hmm. And it can clear out a whole room as long as it's sealed up. So my question was, is that likely to be effective with the smoke, and is there anything in the smoke that the HEPA filters doesn't take out?
So I think this is I can answer that. On the nmhealth.org website, there's actually a document called Protect Your Lungs from Wildfire Smoke, and it talks about masks. Of course, to protect your lungs from wildfire smoke, the best way to do it is to stay indoors and reduce physical activity. But in some circumstances, wearing a special mask called a particulate respirator can also help protect your lungs. If there's guidance on the website, it's really people need to choose a mask called a particulate respirator that has the word NIOSH and either N95 or P100 printed on it. And we're really not recommending masks unless the air quality is unhealthy for sensitive groups. So that would be when the visibility goes to 3 to 5 miles, and then we're saying that individuals who have asthma or another lung disease or heart disease should consider wearing a particulate respirator when outside. When the air gets to the unhealthy level, which the visibility is 1.5 to 2.5, then all individuals should consider wearing a particulate respirator. So really, the mask is not recommended unless the visibility is poor.
Okay, let's see. We have Greg on the line. Greg, good morning.
Good morning. Everybody's getting kind of close to my topic also of masks and respirators and that type of thing. And it just seems to just dawn on me that you don't hear much about it. And it seems to me that when the smoke is dense and when there's actually ashfall and that type of thing, it should probably be encouraged. You know, especially, you know, even indoors for people that have respiratory problems, I would think that the health department would be encouraging it. So just a comment, it seems to me like a great idea if you are at risk and it's real sick.
Okay.
Thank you very much for the show.
Thank you, Greg. Hi.
Yeah, the one thing is that if you have a heart or lung problem, you really do need to ask your doctor before using a mask, because the mask could actually make things worse. So please call your doctor before doing that.
And why is that, honey?
Well, if you already have chronic obstructive pulmonary disease and you have difficulty breathing, and then you put a mask on, which reduces your ability to pull in oxygen, that could actually exacerbate things.
I see.
So please talk to your doctor first.
Okay. Next we have Tom from Santa Fe. Tom, good morning.
Good morning.
You're on the air.
Yes, I have both a comment, I guess, and a question. And I live in Santa Fe, and the Forest Service here has been doing prescribed burns and pile burns in the Santa Fe watershed for a number of years, trying to reduce the fire danger in the watershed and in other areas around here. And often, I'm aware that they have been not allowed to do their prescribed fires because of health concerns. And typically, when they do fires and the weather goes bad on them, we get smoke for about a day or so, and then it disperses because these fires only last for a few days or maybe a week at the most. Right now, we're dealing with much more severe smoke over a period of weeks and probably a month before this is over. And I guess my question, so that's the comment, that the prescribed fires produce smoke, but only for a short time, and I, you know, I don't like the smoke either, and it's clearly a health hazard, as we've talked about. But my question is how the health department, when they're making decisions, or the state environment department, how do they balance the fact that, you know, a major wildfire like this one, or Cerro Grande, or Five Ash, or any of those fires that we've had in the past that last for weeks, how do they balance the health hazard from events like that against the temporary and fleeting health hazards for prescribed fires or, you know, other burning in the forest that's controlled? Because the more we don't do those controlled burns, the greater the likelihood that we have these really major fires. And I think, you know, it's a question of smoke for a day versus smoke for a month. And it's the same smoke, but it's a lot more tolerable when it only lasts for a couple of days. And, you know, how does the environment department balance those issues? I know that they, you know, they have a duty to protect the public from smoke, from controlled burns, but those are really pretty minor problems compared to the problems of a major wildfire like this one. So that's my question, and I'd like them to address that balancing act, because at least in the Santa Fe area, we have a sense, or at least I have a sense, that they're not balancing it very well, that they're sort of erring too much on the side of no smoke ever.
Well, let's Rita and Heidi, could you answer his question regarding balancing the two issues?
Yes, this is Rita. I can respond to that. We do allow prescribed burning. In fact, we have a rule that addresses when people can burn. And we do try to balance, you know, the health with the fact that prescribed burns are good for the ecosystem and do prevent these larger wildfires. But we require that these prescribed burns are only done when conditions are such that the smoke will lift up and out of an area. We don't want to have issues with smoke during prescribed burning. We also are aware that
winds, and that can possibly cause an escape of the fire. But we've been working very closely with the Forest Service in Santa Fe and throughout the state on the conditions when it's safe to burn, and it's also good for health of people that live in the areas that are being burned.
So, Heidi, did you have a comment?
No, we work closely with Reed on this.
Okay, Matt, can you talk a little bit about prescribed fires and the question that Eddie posed earlier?
Well, I'd first like to preface and let everybody know that last caller was not paid by me, but he should have been. That was I'd like to get his phone number to be a spokesman for us. That was a fantastically well put comment there. And yes, it is a balancing act for us. And, you know, we as fire managers understand where our ecosystem is at, and we really do need to return fire into its natural role in the ecosystem to help prevent the catastrophic or uncharacteristic wildfires that we're seeing happen in this day and age. But it is, like I say, a balancing act with the encroachment of public into our national forest lands. We have people living closer to the forest, and in some cases, in holdings in the forest. And places like the Santa Fe watershed are particularly sensitive just due to the topography, and the smoke will funnel down right into a fairly major metropolis, you know. So these are heavy concerns for us, and we do need to return fire back on the landscape, but we also do need to be sensitive about the concerns of the public and any sort of smoke or health hazards that we create. We do need to be mindful of that.
Okay, let's see, we've got Chris on the line. I want to remind our listeners, we want to hear from you. We want to hear how you're weathering the smoke and any ideas that you may have or questions regarding your safety and precautions that you need to take for your health and welfare. The number to call outside the metropolitan area is 877-899-5866. In Albuquerque, the number is 277-5866, and I believe we have Chris from Albuquerque on the line. Chris, good morning.
Good morning, Chris. I have a quick question and a comment. The comment being that I think probably to a man, or most of the people and women working the fire are public employees. And I think it's important that we note that, you know, that's who's working for us right now trying to contain the fire. The question I have is, how is the percentage of containment determined? It seems an odd concept to me.
Well, it is kind of an abstract concept in some ways. There's a couple different ways we consider the containment percentage. It can do with just simply the area around the fire in a percentage. So if the area around the fire is 100% and you have half of that area with a containment line or control feature around it, then in some cases we could call that 50% contained, depending on the fire behavior. Now, a fire like this one in Arizona, you're seeing 0% containment. That doesn't mean that they don't have any control line around the fire. What that means is that the fire is just growing at a rate and is demonstrating fire behavior in such a fashion that all the containment lines are at risk probably. And so that's the other way to establish containment is your relative control over the fire as a whole. So it's kind of twofold. We take those into consideration as we're balancing our success rate in terms of a percentage.
And we have another email question. People wanted a little bit more detail on swamp coolers versus air conditioning, which also uses outside air. Should people change their car air filters sooner? And what about portable swamp coolers? Should people not be using those either? Does anybody have any information on that? Heidi?
Let me just say that, you know, whether it's a portable swamp cooler or a fixed swamp cooler, they're going to be pulling smoke from the outdoors, and so you don't want to be using that. As far as the filter on your car, you know, you might want to talk to the person who takes care of your car just for them to check it.
Okay.
I'd like to chime in a little bit on the portable swamp coolers. If they mean the kind that you put in your house and that don't bring in outside air, I think those would be a great option for people to use because they just take your indoor air and circulate it through the cool water and through a filter, and it doesn't bring in outdoor air, then I think those are great options for people to use right now.
Okay. Let's see, we have Wanda on the line. Wanda, good morning.
Good morning. I'm wondering whether anybody's trying to figure out what the economic impact of all this will be as far as lost tourism, people not going out, cancellations of events. And I also want to know if when we assume this someday will be over, what will the effects of erosion and so forth in the burned out areas be? And one last comment. I was recently impressed by the efforts in Australia after their tremendous fires of groups to rescue some burned animals like koalas and nurse them back to health and that sort of thing. I wonder if we have similar groups. And that's it. I'll hang up and listen. Thank you.
Okay. Matt, can you answer the question regarding effects on erosion on animals?
Yeah, so any fire that we have that has an adverse effect on the landscape, we bring in teams. They're called BARE teams, or Burn Area Rehabilitation Teams. And what they do is evaluate effects on the landscape in terms of like erosion, stream condition, soil condition, rehabilitation for existing trees, things of that nature, whether the area has to be replanted or not. So those teams will be definitely brought in on a fire like the wall of fire that's this large. And secondly, the animal concerns are definitely there. We have groups that come in and evaluate the animals, and if there are needs for any animal care or anything like that, then that's addressed as well.
And the other question she had was, and I don't know if anybody on the program can answer this question regarding the economic impact on tourism. And Heidi, would you have a sense of that? Okay, Rita.
No, I don't either, but I'm sure that, you know, one of the things that we're known for is our clear skies and our great vistas, and this is really impacting that, but I don't know what the economic impact of that would be.
Okay, let's see, we have another call. We have EJ. EJ, good morning. Good morning, EJ, you're on the air. Well, we'll try EJ in a little while. Let's see, let's go to David. David, good morning.
Good morning. I was interested in asking the ladies what the effect of using air ionizers within the house, and I would suppose that you kind of close the windows a little bit, otherwise the ionized air would just blow right out. Do they take the particles and take them out of the air?
Rita, how do you know?
Sure.
Can you answer that?
I just know that some devices which are known as ozone generators are not recommended. But I'm not sure about the ionizers.
Okay. Well, we're going to take a short break. I want to give out the numbers again because I want to hear from our listeners. 877-899-5866. In Albuquerque, the number is 277-5866. And you can also email us your question at callinshow, that's callinshow, at KUNM.org. And we'll be right back in just a moment.
Have you heard? Scooteroo of Albuquerque donated a brand new scooter to KUNM's online auction. Supporting KUNM has never been so much fun. Browse the amazing art, restaurant gift certificates, concert tickets galore, even celebrity items, including a guitar signed by BB King, Buddy Guy, and the late, great John Lee Hooker. Hurry, the bidding ends at 5 o'clock on June 17th. Click through to the auction site from the upper right of the homepage at KUNM.org.
Remember Saab Sonnets? Well, a generous listener donated one to KUNM, and it was bought at auction by a collector in Budapest. You never know where your car ends up. One thing you do know for sure, your car keeps great radio happening right here at home. You don't have to worry about a single detail. You don't even have to worry if it runs or not. We take care of everything. Towing, title transfer, even buyers from Budapest. Just call 888-KUNM-CAR. 888-KUNM-CAR.
And we're back. You are listening to the Colin Show on the Mexico's Community Powered Public Radio, KUNM 89.9. I'm Marcy Chapin. This morning we're talking about the wildfires that continue to burn in eastern Arizona. And we're also talking about what we're doing here to protect ourselves from the smoke that we're getting from those fires. And I believe we have Megan on the line. Megan, good morning.
Good morning. this is a local team. This is about Little League. It's the season, and I was at a game last night. My grandson playing, and others, of course. And first of all, I'm wondering if exposure is a greater risk for younger people. That's one thing. And then I'm also interested if I don't think anybody's going to stop the game, you know, because I didn't last yesterday, and we all wanted our team to win. And it really got very, very hard. The kids were complaining afterwards. Would an ordinary mask be useful for them to be wearing when they're there? And I don't know how you could use it when you were playing the game itself, playing baseball. And I don't see anybody saying we're not going to. I haven't heard any opinion about moving the games into a time of day like when it's not when the it's not so much ash.
Right, well, Heidi, that's a question. I believe for you, is an ordinary mask useful for kids when they're playing outside?
Well, first let me back up just a little bit about, to give a background about children and the effect on them. With children, the lungs are still developing, making them more susceptible to air pollution than healthy adults. And since children tend to spend more time outside, they inhale more air per pound of body weight, exposing them to more smoke. So they would actually be considered a sensitive group. And so when the air quality gets to the level of unhealthy for sensitive group, which is the visibility of 3 to 5 miles, that's when we say that individuals who have asthma or other sensitive groups should consider wearing a particulate respirator when outside. However, when, you know, children are running around, I don't know if that would be recommended or not while playing a sport to have a respirator on. That would be something to talk with a doctor about. I don't know if that would actually be recommended.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's see. We have Ron on the line. Ron, good morning.
Hello.
You're on
the line. My question is, I'm working evenings here in Albuquerque as a utility worker. There's some question whether we're entirely necessary moment-to-moment out there, so we're on call. And we've been, you know, out in a thick, thick smoke at night, and just wondering how OSHA would stand on that, or if there's anybody else to address that.
Hi.
You know, I would have to defer that to OSHA because they have guidelines around that.
Okay, let's see. We have Tiska on the line from Albuquerque. Tiska, good morning.
Yes, thank you for letting me speak. I was wondering about the New Mexico wolves that are in that danger area. There were two packs that they've been watching. And I also wanted to comment that I've noticed that my turtles who live in the backyard have been underground for about 4 days. I haven't seen them around. I'm wondering if other animals know to do these things.
Anybody have an answer for that? Matt, you want to take a...
Well, I'm not a wolf expert by any stretch, but I would assume that the wolves would be hightailing out of the area, would be my assumption. I'll try to think on if there's somebody that I could relay a phone number to by the end of the show that might have a better answer on that, but as far as I'm concerned, I would just think they'd be getting out of the area. But most of the animals are pretty savvy to wildfire, and that's kind of an instinctive thing, and those wolves, the animals will generally relocate on their own.
Okay, I have an email question. The question is, saw crews get around $80 to clear an acre, but it costs so much more to have catastrophic fires, why not pay more? Also, the loss of forests that remove carbon from the atmosphere, and how much greenhouse gases are getting into the atmosphere from the fires. Matt, do you have an answer for that, or Jeff?
I'll start with the land clearance thing. My figures show more like $600 to $1,000 an acre in some cases to do effective defensible space or clearing around homes, that is. In the forested areas, in open areas, yes, it's much less. But the cost to contain a wildfire is just more than running a few chainsaws. You know, I believe there's close to 2,000 to 3,000 firefighters on the fire, as well as all the aircraft. The costs add up tremendously, and that's why we do like to put the money back in where it's better spent ahead of the fire and doing the thinning and doing the land clearing before it has to get to this.
And Matt, can you give out that email? That website again that you gave out earlier.
Yeah, sure. That would be InciWeb. That's InciWeb, and I'm not sure if it's .com or .net, but if you Google InciWeb, it'll come up.
Okay,
great.
Okay, let's see. We have Sharon. Matt, I'm sorry. Jeff, did you have an answer regarding the greenhouse effects of the fires?
Sure. A wildfire like this is putting out tremendous amounts of carbon monoxide, which converts to carbon dioxide, and also puts out tremendous amounts of nitrogen oxide, which is a greenhouse gas. Either nitrogen oxide or nitrogen dioxide is a greenhouse gas. And, you know, nitrogen oxide is going to convert. A lot of it's going to convert to nitrogen dioxide. So, there's tremendous amounts of greenhouse gas.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. We have Andrea from Santa Fe on the line. Andrea, good morning. Good morning. Good morning. You're on the air. Anybody have an answer for her question? Rita, can you take a stab at the question?
About reduced oxygen when there's a lot of smoke in the air. When there's a lot of smoke in the air, there's a lot of particulate. So it is a hazard for breathing when it gets really, really heavy, like it was last night. And as far as the restoration efforts, I think that's probably a question for the Forest Service person.
I guess I maybe misunderstood the question. Restoration efforts in terms of the rehabilitation of the ground?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So the teams are going to begin assessing this. In fact, they're probably already in their beginning assessments. When we have fire season in the southwest, it's pre-monsoons, just right before we do get the majority of our heavy rainfall. So the erosion is a huge factor. So the teams, I'm sure, are already in there looking around on the cooler edges of the fire and the cooler ends and formulating a plan of what's to be done.
Okay, we have another caller. We have Lucinda on the line from Santa Fe. Good morning, Lucinda.
Hi, good morning. I'm calling from Santa Fe, and I have a three-year-old here, and I've had a hard time finding out specific, you know, ideally hourly updates for the house effects on children up here, and when it is okay to open windows and turn smoke cooler, and when it's not okay, and how to know, you know, when we can start cleaning up the house or go outside, and I'm not sure what the side effects are, long term or short term, for the 3-year-old being out in these conditions in Santa Fe.
You can look online. We have two monitors in Santa Fe, one at the Reynolds Building at the corner of Alta Vista and St. Francis, and one at the airport. So you can look online. The data is about an hour or two old, but it will give you an idea of what the particulate levels are. And if they're over, you know, if they're getting over like 20 or 30, that's getting high for here. But if they're up in the 100 range, that's really high. Or even like in the 70 or 80 range. So you can look at that. But you can also use visibility as a surrogate. And if you can see, you know, over 5 miles or over 10 miles, then you know the air is good. And what are the effects, long-term effects on babies and toddlers, Heidi?
Exposure to smoke of all kinds is harmful to people of all ages. Just like cigarette smoke from fires can eventually damage your body's ability to remove large particles and excess phlegm from your lungs and airway.
You know, somebody was earlier trying to call about, and I believe we're going to talk about wet towels, which is something that I tried last night, and it seemed to work. I put it on my kids and on myself, and it seemed to make a big difference. Heidi, is there any use in doing that?
Well, we have facts about protecting your lungs from wildfire smoke on the DOH website, and we recommend that you do not use bandanas, wet or dry, paper or surgical masks, or tissues held
we have another caller. We have Jeanette on the line. Jeanette, good morning.
Good morning.
You're on the air.
Okay, thank you. In this area, vendors cut live trees with chainsaws to sell as firewood, and I wonder, they leave the limbs right on the ground, and it causes a fire hazard. I wonder if there are any laws to protect the forest from this possibility?
Well, what we do as far as U.S. Forest Service land is considered, when we do have a fuel wood area that's open for a gathering, it's, we will go in after the fuel wood has been collected. We will either pile the limbs and burn them in piles to remove them off the ground, or we will slate the unit for a larger scale prescribed burn where we actually put fire across the landscape to remove that vegetation. Some cases, if it's near homes, right adjacent to our property line, we have smoke-sensitive areas, we'll actually bring chippers in. We will chip the material and either provide it, you know, to the homeowners, or we'll remove it or leave it in place to decompose naturally. So those, I would agree with your assessment, those are increased fire risks. And if you are near an area that is U.S. Forest Service land that has been, the fuels have been built up like that, I would definitely, give them a call and ask them the questions, what their intentions are of removal of that debris.
And Matt, we have a question from the emails. A caller wants to know about the fire retardant used on the wildfires and how much of that smoke are we bringing.
I'd say there's a small component of the retardant that gets evaporated, but I would say the majority of it stays in place. And the testing that's been done on all of our retardant shows that, the risks aren't that great, and we pay special attention to that, and keeping it out of waterways, and, trying to keep it out of the drinking water table and things like that, too.
Well, Matt, an incident commander, this is something I was reading last night, told folks attending a town hall meeting that he doesn't know exactly where the fire is at the moment because it is moving so fast. How fast is it moving, and is there any, you mentioned a little earlier that there might be some release inside because they're getting into cliffs, the fire is. But what do you know about how fast it's moving and the concern that some kids have about it getting to Mexico?
So yeah, with the fuels as dry as they are this year and the winds like we've had, the rates of spread are quite rapid. I hate to quote what the rates of spread on this fire are because I really don't know, but it is incredibly rapid. When you get into a fire situation like these, they get what's called a crown fire, where the fire is moving independently through the crowns of the trees, and it's fast. Mm-hmm.
So again, if people need more information about health, Heidi, very quickly, your website.
Nmhealth.org.
Can you repeat that quickly?
Nmhealth.org.
Okay, and Matt, people
want to
know about fires. What's the website?
I would go to ncweb.org or call your local Forest Service office and they can provide you with some better information.
Okay.